This is Unicopia Green Radio with your host, Farron Dancer.
Welcome to Unicopia Green Radio. This is your host, Farron Dancer, and you can tell I'm in a good mood today, maybe. In the meanwhile, Unicopia Green Radio is brought to you each and every week by Unicopia, a public benefit nonprofit organization that is dedicated to the awareness, knowledge, and synergy that is key to our sustainable future. And of course, you know I like to discuss a little something we call sustainable thought. And that is flowing the energy correctly, meaning being grateful, staying out of the bushes when it comes to all the problems. And gosh knows, there's plenty of them out in the world. And we all have our challenges in our personal life as well. But the key is to look around, stay positive, find the things that we can be grateful for, and there are many. And from that place, generate the future that we want to create together, and that is sustainable thought. And today's show is dedicated to Unicopia and our mission, some of our activities, and aligning with Earth Week, which is going on right now as we speak. It's from April 16th to April 22nd. Tomorrow is the 22nd, the end of Earth Week, and the actual official Earth Day, which began back in 1970 on this exact April 22nd. And I have an esteemed guest here in the studio with me today, and she thinks I'm forgetting about her, but I haven't. I just have a whole hour to fill up here, honey. And Maxine Suisa, who's the Associate Executive Director of Unicopia and just a huge, huge part of our vision. And welcome to the studio, Maxine.
It's great to be here.
And I will never forget about you. Don't worry. Gaylord Nelson was the founder of Earth Day back on April 22nd, 1970. And in the original Earth Day, 20 million people participated around the country in various cities throughout the country, mostly major metropolitan areas. But not a bad start, not a bad kickoff for an event that has been now an annual event for 42 years. And
where were you for that first Earth Day? Do you remember?
I was trying to get out of Columbus, Ohio, and find my way to California. And I think I did actually hitchhike out of there just a couple months later and ended up on the beach in Northern California and ended up there for the following 10 years. But I was still in Columbus, Ohio, a student at Ohio State. How about you?
I was actually in Great Neck, New York. I was a high school student at the time. And we did do an Earth Day celebration. Great Neck started newspaper recycling, I believe it might have been 1971, not 1970.
And I remember then on the third Earth Day in 1973, and I was living in Marin County, there was this huge celebration in San Francisco, and I think that still happens every year on Earth Day. Obviously, there's a lot of Earth-friendly people in that part of the country, and I remember it being just an amazing celebration and people coming together. And, you know, this whole Earth Day event has progressed amazingly over the last 42 years. In 1990, on its 20th anniversary, Earth Day went global. And now it wasn't just a U.S. Related event. 140 countries participated. And over 1 billion people. So it went from 20 million people in the U.S., 20 years later, a billion people. Sounds like Bill Gates's portfolio or something. But that's how the growth has happened. On the 30th anniversary in 2000, it expanded to 184 countries. And it's now, become Earth Week, you know. So they ran out of things to do in one day. And now they had to fill up a week. But that's how much this has progressed. Here's one of the ironies of my political memory, and that is we all remember Richard Nixon and his vice president, Spiro Agnew, I think it was, And, you know, when I was protesting back in those days, I mean, they were, you know, they represented, you know, the war machine and repression for freedom in our country, especially for us, you know, rebellious youth and whatnot. But ironically, when you compare Richard Nixon and what he was able to do environmentally compared to some of the GOP-type candidates nowadays who are not very earth-friendly, as it were, some of the landmarks during Richard Nixon's time in office. 1970, the Environmental Protection Agency was founded. That was the same year as the first Earth Day. 1971, Greenpeace was founded. That wasn't necessarily Richard's thing, but he was very instrumental in the 1972 Clean Water Act and the 1973 Endangered Species Act. These were all things that came down during the Richard Nixon administration. And so for those of us who have just those bad memories of Vietnam and social repression and some of those other things, he was an environmental champion of sorts. And we should look to him as being the founder of some of these great things that have been protections for our environment. Not to the tune of what they were cracked up to be when they were founded. Unfortunately, they've been watered down in different ways, but at least those protections are in place and they have done a lot of good over the years.
And it really is a tribute to the start of Earth Day and really where our commitment back 40-some-odd years ago.
Well, and for those who were, you know, sleeping in the park and protesting and doing that kind of thing back in 1970, and there was quite a bit of civil disobedience in those days, and refreshing to see it come back around in this last year in particular with the Occupy movement and some of the protests that have not just gone on in our country but around the planet in regards to some of the exploitation of the masses, I would think, by predominantly the financial institutions and the industrial military complex and whatnot. And we're seeing a big pushback around the fact that, you know, this whole 1% thing and the rich are getting way richer and the middle class is disappearing and so on. But the thing of beauty that I've seen in this last year is people getting active, people finding a voice. And there wasn't much of that, you know, and it seems like the lean times kind of brings out a little bit of discontent. Do you have any take on what's been happening socially in recent years?
In terms of positive change?
Let's go with that.
Okay. No, because
I can always leave it to Maxine to shift it to, you know, and we don't want to be looking at the problems anyway, so let's talk about positive change.
Yes. Well, I do just have to say from the Unicopia website, we do have a website that I've worked on called Grateful Optimism, because definitely I try to accentuate the positive. So I would say these challenging economics times have really encouraged people to take a look at what's important. And what you start realizing is that money is a nice vehicle to make things happen in our lives, but there really are more important things like taking care of the planet, being conservation-wise, energy-wise. And I think that that's been a real shift. You know, when Carter was president and he really started doing all those renewable energy incentives, people really started to get on the bandwagon. But I feel like now it's even gone to a new level and people really have an interest and a commitment and a desire to reduce their carbon footprint and make a positive contribution to the healing of our planet.
Well, and you know, the George Bush administration had swung the pendulum so far in the other direction in terms of exploiting the planet and the environment to the tune of Wall Street jumping in and all the big industries making record-breaking profits. And that became the shift of emphasis. And we kind of lost sight of the environment during those years, I think. Many of us didn't, but in terms of national policy and things like that. And I think now that, you know, when the pendulum swings so far one side, it's got to come back around, and it's been doing that. Of course, Obama being in office, he hasn't been the perfect president, okay, but in many respects, we know a breath of fresh air, especially given the contrast that came before. So we're looking at a time now where people are getting their voice and getting activated and wanting to see some real positive changes in terms of sustainability.
Absolutely.
And in keeping with your good news theme, Maxine, and Maxine brings to our show from time to time these good news segments. And do you have one for us today, or are we? Yeah, you have a little time. Go ahead.
I do have a little time. I guess in the next segment we'll talk about Earth Week.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say this was a nice story. There's a man from India who single-handedly planted 1,300-acre forest in Assam, India.
All by himself.
All by himself. And what happened was he was a teenager, and he began planting seeds along a barren sandbar in India's Assam region. It was 1979, and all these snakes had washed ashore and had died, and it made him very sad. So he decided that if he could grow trees there, that would help offset this problem. And now that once barren sandbar is a sprawling 1,360-acre forest home to several thousands of varieties of trees and an astounding diversity of wildlife, including birds, deer, apes, rhino, elephants, and even tigers.
Do you see what one person can do? And we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about more of these enlightening moments in just a minute.
Oh no, I say you're working iniquity to achieve vanity, yeah. If I saw, I saw, but the goodness of Jah Jah.
Welcome back. This is Farron Dancer here on Unicopia Green Radio. And right before the break, Maxine and I were talking about this fella, Jadav Payeng, who started this 1,300-acre forest on his own. And what happened was this sandbar became this veritable jungle, right?
Yes.
And then all these animals appeared. Did they just appear on their own, or did they get, you know, they go around to different zoos and transport them to Payeng? Jadav's sandbar, or how did that work? Did they just appear?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's a scientific explanation and there's a spiritual explanation. So the scientific explanation is that vegetation does bring life. It attracts life. The spiritual question is, how does that happen?
Right.
And there's that sense of, if you build it, they will come. So
right.
If you plant it, they will come.
Right, just like the movie Field of Dreams.
Right.
The guy carves out a baseball field in a corn patch in Indiana or wherever. And all of a sudden, well, that's a little different. That was a little mystical because all these dead baseball players showed up.
Well, it's the spiritual aspect. It was a dream of his.
Right.
And that helped.
And the whole build it and they will come. So that comes down to the concept that I would mention during the break. You can be out in the middle of a desert, and then you get a rain, and it was big enough to leave a mud puddle that sits there for a period of time. And all of a sudden, now there's tadpoles in the mud puddle. And what happens? Did they? Now, here's the more the spiritual definition of this, I think, and that is the conditions are right, life appears. So the idea of a tadpole exists in the ethereal realm, and all it needs is the conditions in the physical to become physical. But the idea exists in that spiritual realm. And we can look at so many of our own dreams or ideas that exist not in the material, but as a thought. And this is where sustainable thought comes in. Because if we believe it enough, it will come true. And thought creates. There we go.
There Mike Dooley, who was one of the participants in The Secret, has a quote that he uses, and that's exactly that, which is thoughts become things. And I think that says it very well. What you think about is what you create for yourself in this world and in your reality.
And that's why it's important as to where we keep and put and keep our attention. Because if we are focused on the problems, and even though we think we're a righteous person, who cares? But we're focused on the problems, and we're pushing against what's wrong. We're more activating what's wrong than creating solutions for what could be right. And so it's important to be solution-oriented, to stay positive. And this is just a fantastic example because our thoughts create. So if we sit in front of CNN every night and we look at all the crap that's going on in the world and we fixate on that, what are we doing in terms of creating? We're probably just, you know, magnifying and adding to the existing problems.
Absolutely. Focusing on the fear side rather than focusing on the power side and the personal power that we all have to make a difference and make changes in our lives and the world.
So one could start by actually turning off the television.
And save electricity.
Save electricity, and we'll go back to being sustainable here. You know, yeah, shut off the TV and create your own movie, you know, for something to do. So, you know, in keeping with the good news theme, the Huffington Post, you want to tell us a little bit, Maxine, about their 7-day challenge?
Yes, I actually have to preface it by saying that I have become a big fan of the Huffington Post. They have so many interesting columns on the website in particular, and they're really big on green and helping educate people around sustainable causes. So what the Huffington Post did, HuffPost Green started an Earth Week challenge. Earth Day is April 22nd, as you mentioned. So from April 16th to April 22nd, HuffPost Green invites you to take one simple endeavor per day to reduce your impact on the planet. We can't extend a challenge without attempting it ourselves, so our team will tackle each goal as well. So they had 7 challenges for each, one for each day. The Monday challenge, day one, was go meatless for a day.
Go meatless?
Go meatless for one day.
Okay.
Now, I know there are a lot of meat lovers out there, and that doesn't mean you have to give up meat. It just says one day, choose an alternative source of protein for yourself because it does save water. One of the things that it mentions here is that up to 2,500 gallons of water may be needed to produce 1 pound of beef, and 40 calories of fossil fuel energy go into every calorie of feedlot. Compare this to 2.2 calories of fossil fuel needed to produce 1 calorie of plant-based protein. So again, just something to keep in mind. One day say, okay, maybe I'll go with tofu.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's probably easier to stay away from meat when you think about that fossil fuel aspect. I mean, if we were raising our own beef and our own, you know, goats and chickens and cows, that's a little different, you know. But given the embodied energy that goes on and just that 2,500 gallons of water for 1 pound of beef, just so my listeners know, I'm not going to become a vegetarian anytime soon. I tried that for 7 years when I was younger, and I almost wasted away into nothing. And you might want to check your blood type out there, because blood types often can dictate whether you can healthfully be a vegetarian and get the protein you need from vegetable sources. And some blood types, and in my case it was O positive, turns out that after 7 years of being very religious about vegetarianism, I didn't get my health back until I started eating animal protein again. So it's not one size fits all.
You know? That's for sure. And there are many, there are important aspects to eating meat as well. But just a thought to keep in mind. Should we go on with day two?
Let's do day two, and then we'll pick it up after the break.
Okay. So the day two challenge was unplug. Unplug and power down unneeded electronic devices and appliances. And the thing to remember here is that even when we put our devices into standby, they're still using electricity.
Right. There's the phantom load aspect.
And so what it says is use smart strips. These power strips will kill the power to devices in standby mode, saving you money and reducing your carbon emissions.
So that little power strip that you plug all your electronics into, you just flip that switch, now when I build, I do kill switches in various rooms, so you can flip a switch and take out all the phantom loads, and that's a key feature, I think.
Right. So in the first 2 days of the Earth Week, we have some good ideas in terms of how to reduce our carbon footprint.
And when we come back from break, we'll go on to day three, and there's 7 days of fun things that we can do to reduce our carbon footprint, and we'll touch on that when we get back in just a moment.
So when you're riding through the ruts, don't you complicate your mind. Flee from hate, mischief and jealousy. We are the small.
Welcome back. This is Farron Dancer here on Unicopia Green Radio, and I'm in the studio with my dear friend and Associate Executive Director of Unicopia, Maxine Suissa. Welcome back, Maxine.
It's great to be here.
I'm glad you said that. Thank you. Before the break, we were talking about the Huffington Post 7-day challenge for Earth Week, and we talked about the first two. So let's pick up with what they promoted for day three.
Okay, so day three was Wednesday, and they called it Reusable Bottle Wednesday. And the challenge was give up disposables and drink from reusable water bottles and coffee mugs. So this is an easy way to go green and eliminate disposable plastic water bottles and paper coffee cups from your life.
Well, you know, in keeping with that little theme, I mean, people should be aware of, you know, some of the aspects of plastic bottles. We all know that it's mostly petroleum-based. We recycle them, but they end up on barges that go to China. And who knows what happens with them in China, except they make toys and add lead and send them back to the U.S. But, you know, that's only one of the many recycled aspects of plastic bottles. But, you know, there's some health issues with plastic bottles as well. If you keep a plastic water bottle in your car, especially in the summertime, and it heats up, it's actually emitting certain chemical agents into the water when the plastic gets hot. So you want to be aware of that. That's why certain types of plastic that don't emit anything that they're making water bottles out of nowadays, as well as glass. If you can use glass for your water, that's probably the best thing going. And then, you know, get a water filtration system at home and refill your bottles. It's not huge. I broke that habit myself in recent years, and it feels really good.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you can buy a very inexpensive water filtration system. You can buy those Brita water jugs and filters that you replace every 30 or 40 gallons. It's a really easy way to do it. And I know some of our listeners may have teenagers that are more reluctant, but I can assure you if you're persistent in your desire for them to be less wasteful and be greener, they do catch on.
Well, and your daughter's 22, but you were persistent enough, and now I noticed she is carrying a glass water bottle that she refills at home.
Exactly.
And she was reluctant, right?
Absolutely.
And most teenagers are reluctant to a lot of our suggestions, but, you know, then they grow up and mature and things change.
And they admire us as being role models and really demonstrating how we can make each of these small things can make a huge difference.
Well, and if a person tracked, typically, really spent the time tracking how many water bottles they may have used themselves in any lengthy given period of time, I mean, you know, we see how stuff accumulates in our worlds. Well, just think what accumulates in the landfill, you know, and that's just from one of us being a little bit unconscious of our consumption.
Yes.
So go on to day four.
So day four, And there's a little less information because these are the days that are coming up. Day four is Thursday, and because we are pre-recording, today is actually Thursday. Mm-hmm. And it says, cut paper waste, reduce your use of paper, adjust your printer settings, cancel junk mail subscriptions.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that one up because here in Santa Fe, I believe it's a county-sponsored program now. And you might be able to Google this. I wished I had the contact info. But if you Google Santa Fe County and bring up junk mail, they have a program now where you can sign up for getting removed from all the junk mail lists, and you no longer get all these solicitations and catalogs and magazines and different things that is essentially not your subscription magazines, but the junk mail. And they have seen the impact on the landfills in Santa Fe County just based on all of that junk mail that gets, you know, absorbed on a daily basis. It's just humongous. So this is something we can do.
That sounds like a very good idea. I could use that as well.
Yeah, me too.
So day five is Reusable Friday, and it talks about when you bring your lunch, bring it in reusable containers or bring the containers to your favorite takeout restaurant and pass on the plastic utensils, excess paper napkins, and bags. So it's very easy. Instead of carrying a paper lunch bag with all kinds of cellophane, aluminum foil, take your own little containers, you rinse them out, you bring them back and forth, and it's one less piece of garbage in the landfill.
Well, and we've had some conferences at the Unicopia Center where we had somewhat of a minimal amount of waste, but some of our participants who are very dialed into that world really suggested zero waste for our events. And instead of getting even compostable paper plates, which we had, we've now shifted to real glasses, real plates. And, okay, so we got a little cleanup to do afterward, but we're not hauling, you know, two giant bags off to the trash can. So, you know, it's just a way to think about conservation and lowering our footprint.
And it's not a difficult thing to do.
It's really not a difficult thing to do. It just takes the thought and the desire, and to break all of our consumption-related habits, because we're this massive consumer society, and each and every one of us is exposed to so much of this on a daily basis. And when it becomes mindless, then we become mindless consumers. And if we want to do our part, we have to be tuned in.
Yes.
So there we go.
So day six, which is Saturday, it talks about secondhand clothes and products. Instead of purchasing new items, reuse and upcycle old items.
Well, and for those who like to hit the garage sales, you know, there are some great stuff. There's things out there. It doesn't have to be a brand new thing to be a great thing. And, you know, we can do that with our own. We don't have to go to somebody else's garage sale. We can just move it around the family a little bit, if nothing else. Right?
Absolutely. Family and friends. Hey, I have a dress I don't wear anymore. Farron, would you like it?
Not this week, although, you know, given some of my personal changes lately. No, we won't go there. No dress for me. Although, do you remember when I had the birthday party just in March?
Yes.
And Catherine Mortimer had put me in a party dress for the invitation. God love her.
See, you never know.
You never know. And at least I'm securing myself enough to be able to talk about these things.
That's right. Anyhow, back to Earth Week. So.
Thank you.
Day seven, Sunday, is Waste Less Water. And I do have to say we're fortunate in Santa Fe that people really do have a consciousness about water conservation. But some of the suggestions here, simple suggestions, take shorter showers, turn the faucet off while brushing teeth, do only full loads of dishes and laundry.
Well, and those are some great tips. And, you know, we all grew up letting the water run when we brushed our teeth. It's just, I don't know, I'm sure you did.
Yes.
We certainly did. And some people leave it running just so they can go take a tinkle because it reminds them that there's, you know, some water that needs to be expelled. But the point is that all of that is wasteful, and we can brush our teeth and urinate and everything else without running water while we're doing it. So it's just, again, taking the time, being focused, and thinking, well, shoot, I could have filled like a gallon jug of water while I'm sitting here brushing my teeth. And in our arid Southwest, not a bad way to think.
Exactly. One other thing. So those are the seven tips from the Huffington Post. We would be curious here at Unicopia if you are doing any of those. Feel free to email Farron or me at farron@unicopia.org.
And that's F-A-R-E-N.
Or Maxine@unicopia.org.
Or Maxine@unicopia.org. And, you know, send in your comments, because we're looking for people's feedback, and we want to hear what people are doing out there in the world and how maybe they're making a difference in their own reality and how they're impacting their children and how the children are impacting them. And I get quite a bit of that here on Unicopia Green Radio, because there's so many programs now in the schools where the kids are learning about conservation and recycling and getting toxins out of the home and all these really sustainable related issues. And then they take it back and they teach their parents. So that was something Crosby, Stills, and Nash talked about back in 1970 when Earth Day was getting going. They were talking about, you know, teach your parents. So
yes,
here we are.
Absolutely. I did also want to mention, because I was impressed by a major network, NBC, is really focusing on green causes. They actually have a sub-site from their website, nbc.com/green, and their slogan right now is Green is Universal. So they really are interested in people's stories and blogs about what they're doing to help. And what was interesting was they did kind of a street survey and what's the one way that you can all help. And many, many people said recycle. And so on top of all of these, reuse and recycle is really important and crucial.
Well, and the reuse piece, you know, people don't stop to think about that very much. But even if you buy a plastic bottle, heck, you can refill it umpteen times, especially if you don't leave it in the car and let it get to be 100 degrees, you know. So, but that's the first place to think, reuse, then recycle. And typically, if you don't need it, don't buy it. Especially if it has gobs of packaging that you have to throw away, you know, so just something to think about. I just want to remind our listeners to pick up a copy of the Green Fire Times. It's available on newsstands throughout northern New Mexico. It's the fifth largest publication of any publication in New Mexico, and it's all about sustainability, all things green, and the things that are going on in our community and throughout northern New Mexico, where people are really making a difference in terms of the environment, in terms of the land and food production and water conservation and green building and all the related issues that we talk about here on Unicopia Green Radio. So pick up a copy. So while you're reading your Green Fire Times, we're going to go to break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
So when you're riding through the ruts, don't you complicate your mind.
Welcome back one last time. This is Farron Dancer here on Unicopia Green Radio. And again, I'm in the studio with my dear friend Maxine Suissa. Hi, Maxine.
Hi.
You know, we've been talking about good news, Unicopia, and all our related activities. Some of our activities are good news, and that will be coming up in May, on May 18th, on a Friday night at the Unicopia Center. We're going to have a movie night, and it is entitled I Am by Tom Shadyac. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. It's actually a very interesting story. Some of our listeners might have seen the movie last year. He was a director slash comedian. He worked with Jim Carrey and Stephen Carrey.
Stephen Carrey?
Carell.
Stephen Carell.
Yes, Steve. Anyhow, Jim Carrey did Ace Ventura. He was in an accident, a near-death accident on his bicycle, and it kind of changed his life. It just turned his world upside down. And he really started looking at the purpose of the movie was actually to find out what's wrong with the world, but he ended up really finding out what's right with the world. And again, a big message from that movie was what we can all do to make the world a better place. And it's very uplifting and a beautiful movie.
Well, and in keeping with our theme of sustainable thought, come take in this movie on the 18th of May. And, you know, let's kind of ride the positive perspective towards creating what we want. And this is a good example. You know, this guy had a near-death experience, came back around to realize what's right with the world, you know, and that's a place to put our focus.
Absolutely.
Also coming up later in June, and this date is still to be announced, Bill Brown, who is just about the most fantastic presenter when it comes to the whole climate change reality. We had him present a abbreviated version of his presentation, and that was back in January at one of our conferences. Well, we're going to bring him back in June for his full-blown presentation on climate, and it is fascinating. I mean, it's not just sort of an emotional plea. It is very scientifically based, and some of the realities that are presented are worth our attention. And then we'll talk about solutions as part of that presentation as well.
Yes, people really enjoyed what Bill Brown had to say during our conference and asked for a more in-depth presentation. So
we're going to bring it to you. That's right.
Yes.
And I want to also remind the listeners, if you're interested ultimately in a renewable municipal energy grid or a public utility for Santa Fe and Santa Fe County, which we are all interested in, and we're spooling up some energy around that. There's a petition that we've sponsored. We have around 2,000 signatures currently, and if you'd like to just sign on to this concept and move us away from coal as our primary source of electricity for Santa Fe, then go to www.unicopia.org, that's UNICOPIA.org, and click petitions and sign up for a public utility for Santa Fe and Santa Fe County. So we have some more good news, right? And I love this. I'm having a visual of floating windmills. Kind of tell me about this.
Yes. You know, the interesting thing is when you look, there really is no shortage of good news, which is good news.
Yeah, that is excellent news.
So this was actually on Bloomberg.com, which is a business station and website. He also happens to be the mayor of New York City. anyhow, the title is Floating Windmills in Japan Help Wind Down Nuclear Power. And it says, Japan is preparing to bolt turbines onto barges and build the world's largest commercial power plant using floating windmills, tackling the engineering challenges of an unproven technology to cut its reliance on atomic energy.
So they're saying that the windmill technology is unproven? Is that what I heard?
It does, well, in terms of the way they're trying to do
on the floating windmills. And you don't know if things are going to float until you just put it out there and try, right?
And here's what it says. It says the world's third biggest economy is struggling to diversify its energy mix after last year's earthquake and tsunami crippled Tokyo Electric Power's Fukushima Daiichi nuclear station. A few countries, including Britain, the U.S., and South Korea, are testing windmills that float, a technology that can help reduce our dependence on fossil or nuclear fuels.
Wow. I love that. Whatever floats your windmill.
There you go.
But, you know, when you have a catastrophe like happened in Japan, and it wasn't just localized. I mean, you know, people right here in Santa Fe were running out buying supplements for the potential nuclear fallout. And they did track it around the planet, too. I don't know what the health impacts that eventually came to pass. But these are very real issues. And when we have no control over Mother Nature, she could, I mean, you know, we've got the San Onofre not far from where my buddy Gino grew up. The San Onofre nuclear power plant sits right on the San Andreas Fault right there between L.A. And San Diego. And what are they thinking? Obviously, they're not. So we can think for them, and let's think positive, okay? So kindness, you know, and I know Maxine's very much aligned with kindness. So tell us about, we have just a couple minutes left, so let's not go too deeply into kindness, but let's touch on it anyway.
Okay. Well, there is a website called randomactsofkindness.org. And wow. I highly recommend it for anybody who needs a dose of kindness. But this is, kindness is encouraged in eastern Maine. It was dated April 7th. Calais, Maine. People in Maine's easternmost county are being urged to think positive and be especially kind as the county celebrates what's been proclaimed as Positively Kind Week.
Positively Kind Week. Wow. I like that.
So those random acts of kindness, you never know how they can help somebody. Maybe it's as simple as you're driving in your car, and even though you're in a rush, you let that person get into your lane in front of you because they needed that little bit of help.
Well, and just think how much better it feels when somebody flashes you a smile as opposed to flipping you off, you know, in traffic. You know, I don't flip people off, but I get uptight in traffic like most of us do from time to time. And some days when I'm calm and feeling kind of good about myself, I'll let somebody in. They'll smile. They'll wave. And doesn't that feel good on that end? You know, you just can't be running late is the problem.
Right. Well, the truth is, even if you are, those extra 30 seconds aren't going to make that huge of a difference in terms of whether you're.
Yes, exactly right.
Later.
So it's about being present and breathing in the moment and considering other people. And on that theme, I think we're going to have to wind it down today. I hope the listeners, got a good buzz off of this, because good news is the name of the game, and how we can be considerate of others is only going to come back to enhance our own experience. So I want to invite you back next week and every week here on Unicopia Green Radio. And I want to thank Maxine for being here. And we'll catch you later. This is Farron Dancer signing off. So when you're riding